Last week, we were looking at, we're moving through the book of 1 Peter, verse by verse, and we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, and last week I didn't get to go there because I shared some other things that God had laid on my heart as I've been reading devotionally out of the book of Luke concerning Martha and Mary. You know the story of Martha and Mary, and then about the widow of Nain. And I thought that I would get to 1 Peter today because of, you know, I had a whole week and I had a sermon sitting and resting. And then we had the shooting in California. Then we had the shooting in El Paso. And then we had the shooting in Ohio. And it's a spirit, and it's using people to do its bidding. And I just wanted to talk to you today. I'm not going to keep you long. At least my family would say, you know, we don't know. But I thought to myself, I just titled it A Time to Pray. A Time to Pray. Because as a pastor, and as I thought about the venues of these last three shootings. Now, the last most Christians wouldn't be found in a bar on a Saturday night. I say most Christians. Let me say not most Christians. Most people who love Jesus, because Christians now, the word, the people labeling themselves Christians who don't know Christ. I mean, they it's just, we're living in that day, church. You know, I think it's Acts chapter 12, which was said that they were first called Christians in Antioch. But just because it's listed in Acts chapter 12 doesn't mean it was the will and purpose of God. It doesn't matter what people call you. It matters what the authentic you is. That's what matters. The authentic you, okay? Because people are going to call you everything. They're going to call you everything but a child of God, okay? And it's not true. So it doesn't matter what people call you, but it matters the life that you live, right? And so I'm looking at, you know, a garlic festival. Hello. Come on. We're going to look at garlic, and you lose your life. Walmart, and you lose your life. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, there's a pastor today who's standing in his pulpit and mourning with their church because one of their members was killed at one of those events. Now, let's keep this real, okay? That could be one of us. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. I mean, we just need to keep it the way it is. And Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so, you know, we can't sit here and go, oh, aren't we glad when our neighbor's dead? We can't sit by and just go, well, I'm just so glad the Lord took care of me. Well, what about them? And so I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, my God, my heart was just breaking for those people. You know, we're up here, all of our loved ones are intact, and everything's fine. But for those people down in California and El Paso and Ohio, their whole world, its whole world has just been shattered, and nothing's the same. And I mean, it's just, and the scripture says that we're to bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. And that it says to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And so I just threw together a few thoughts. We'll get back to 1 Peter next week, Lord willing. But I was watching the morning show while eating breakfast. And one of this representative, Veronica Escobar, a Democrat from Texas, said, man, when she said something, I said, man, that just hit me. It just hit me. She was talking to Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. She said, we have not just a gun epidemic in this country. And I don't know how much you surf the net or you look at things. But, there's a song called Gun Worship that this group made. And there are churches with pastors. I've seen churches with a pastor in the pulpit wearing bullets, I don't know what you call that, crisscross bullets, where they wear the bullets, guns all behind him up on the pulpit. I'm talking about every type of gun you could imagine. And he's standing there like this. And you know what they worship? It ain't God. It's not God. I mean, all this stuff is out there. That's every type of crazy thing you could imagine, and some you cannot imagine, that's out there in America. In America, okay? And so she said, we have not just a gun epidemic in this country. We have a hate epidemic in this country. And when she said that, it was like an arrow just went, bam! I was like, whoa, man! I don't know if the woman knows Christ. It doesn't matter. She's speaking truth. She is speaking truth. Okay? And hate and guns do not go together. Hate and guns do not go together. And so Wikipedia tells me as of August 4th, which is today, 500 mass shootings have occurred in 2019. Just this year. 500. That fit in the inclusion criteria of this article, resulting in 1,032 people being shot. Of those people, 281 have died. This averages out to 1.2 shootings per day. 1.2 shootings per day. And the reason why you say 500 mass shootings, well, I don't hear about them. That's because when 2, 3, 4, or 5 people get shot and they don't die, that doesn't make the headlines. But it was still a mass shooting. I see it was a mass shooting, not mass kill. Okay, it was a mass shooting. And but when you're going around shooting some people, as with this Patrick Cruzius in El Paso, the guy at the California at the Garlic Fest, they said, why are you doing this? He said, because I'm very angry. Hello. Hello. What have we got to do with your anger? You angry? Go take care of your anger some other way. But don't go take people's lives. That's, which, you know, his statement wasn't altogether accurate. Just being angry, you don't. Paul said, be angry and sin not in Ephesians 4. Hello. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Everybody gets angry. Anger is part of the human experience. But murder is not. Murder is not. So we have a problem. So she says we have a gun problem and a hate problem in this country, right? And so in my mind, you know, this country has to deal with where it is. Now, dealing with guns is a whole lot easier, wouldn't you say, than dealing with hate? Because a gun is out here. Hate is in here. There's going to be, so there's different remedies to deal with them. But now, the moment you go deal with the gun, then you're going to make people hate you. Why? Because not only, we know America's chief deity. Let me put it that way. We know America's chief deity. Oh, yourself? Where's my wallet?
There we go.
Hey, look. Look, you can mess with me. You can mess with myself, but don't touch this. Because I'll go to the mat on you on this. You understand? Hey, look. You in America? Woo! And, I mean, Paul was saying to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:16, he says he told him not to desire to be rich. It's one thing if God makes you rich. No problem. It's another thing to desire to be rich. Because then that desire, you begin to feed the desire. And whatever it takes to get the goal, that's what you'll do. Okay? And so that's a problem. So we've had 15 mass shootings in the U.S. in the last 7 days. Since last Sunday, we've had 15 mass shootings and multiple deaths in those shootings. So we got a problem that we need to deal with. Now, this El Paso shooter, before I came to church, they said that the federal authorities had designated it as a domestic terrorism crime.
Finally.
Okay, yeah, finally. Yeah. And now they're working towards getting it declared as a hate crime. Domestic terrorism, you qualify for the death penalty, and the prosecutors have already stated that they're going to go for the death penalty on this individual. because of the manifesto that he put out. One website said that the manifesto, don't get worried. I'm going to get to the word of God because that's the answer. But I got to present the problem first. Come on, we got to present the sickness, then we present the cure, right? That's how it works. And so the manifesto declares of the imminent attack, a quote, a response to the Hispanic invasion, unquote. In other words, that this man was influenced by the thoughts that there was a Hispanic invasion of our nation. Now, where's that coming from? Now, for anybody, let me tell you. Let me just be real, okay? President Trump got problems. Amen. The man has problems, y'all. Okay, listen. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you like, who you don't dislike. I don't care if it's my number one. If Ravi Zacharias came out tomorrow, and Ravi's my man. I mean, I love this teaching. I love the heart of the man and everything. But if he came out tomorrow and said, all Muslims are X, Y, Z and bad and all this, I'd be like, ho, Ravi. Matter of fact, I got in my notes. I'm going to jump on ahead. But let me say this. I was up in a lady's house the other day cleaning her carpet. And when you go into someone's house, it don't take you long to look around, because I've been cleaning for her for years, to know different persuasions that she would have. And so I'm cleaning and everything, and we got to talking. And my customers, they talk about everything. It's like I'm one of the family. And she says, well, you know, I thought by now they would have assassinated Donald Trump. I'm tired of this man. And, man, I whipped around. I said, ho, man, wait a second. No, that's not what we want. That's not what we want. Come on. And I don't know how many of you remember, but I remember people telling Barack Obama, don't come down to Texas because we waiting on you. We ready for you. Don't come down here. I don't know how many people remember that, but they told him that. And now she's up there telling him that. Now, Donald Trump is not my favorite person. He's not my person of the year, okay? But I don't want the man assassinated. Why? Because that's not Christ-like. That's not God. That's not who we are. That is not what God wants, right? But on the other hand, we ain't sitting in his back pocket. You know, everything the man does, we just, yeah, I guess it's okay. You know, we're getting Supreme Court nominees. Shut up, y'all. Hello. While people's lives are being taken, while everything else is being, I mean, all this hatred flying around the country. No! My God. Oh, my goodness. We must stand for the biblical values that Christ espoused. He said, it has been said unto you in old time to love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say unto you. Who Jesus talking to? Is he talking to you? Is he talking to me? Well, okay then. Well, our enemies, what classifies an enemy? Someone who's opposed to you. Someone who's opposed to you. Politically, racially. And we got things going on in this country right now that's absolutely insane. Insane. And people's like, well, I guess it's all right. You guess it's all right, man. Oh, my goodness. So God, you know, but listen, God knows. And he's going to help us all. He's going to help us all. I said it with a smile on my face. I'm not mad at anybody, y'all, because he's sitting on the throne. And it's his kingdom values that's going to reign in our hearts and in our lives. Amen? So listen, he went on to say that this manifesto accuses Democrats of pandering to the Hispanic voting bloc. Now, let me say this. This make this thing real clear. I'm not up here advocating everything that the Democrats have to say, because I'm not Republican and I'm not Democrat. I'm a Jesus follower. Come on. I'm a Christ follower, right? And when we adhere, when the Republicans adhere to his ways, amen. When the Democrats adhere to his ways, amen. But when they don't, call it out. I don't care who it is. I'm saying, I'm sorry, Mr. President, you're wrong. I'm sorry, supervisor at work. You are wrong. I'm not lying for you. Amen. Come on. And it better start at work, because if you don't rebuke your boss who's want you to lie lie for the company, you'll never rebuke the president of the United States. So that when they had this prayer for the president the other day, a couple months ago, and the president leaves this golf course and walks up over into the biggest mega church in our area, McLean Bible, and the poor pastor is standing on stage ministering to his congregation in the midst of announcements, and someone comes onto the stage and says, the president of the United States is on his way. He wants you to pray for him. Now, you between a rock and a hard place. What do you do? What do you do? Well, I'll tell you what he did, because it's all public knowledge. He prayed for the president when he came up on the stage. I felt my heart broke for this man. I said, oh, Lord, what do you do? So he prays for him, which was a, just to make sure you understand, which was a elbow power move in on a pastor's service. Don't give him time to say yes, no, preparation, anything. Just come in and you will pray for me. Period. That's where it was. And then afterward, the next day, the pastor who prayed for the president put out an apology and said to his church, I'm sorry, I was wrong. This is a McLean Bible. McLean Bible. I'm sorry, I was wrong. I shouldn't have, you know, on and on. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, man. And then I put myself in that pastor's shoes. What would you have done? Let me tell you, if you haven't stood up to your boss, you're not going to stand up to the president of the United States. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't happen that fast. God's at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he's working on you. He's working on me day by day by day. And God is the one in the First Peter sermon. God is the one. We build churches, but God builds people. And we get all excited. We see a big building go up. And I'm seeing big buildings go up right in my area. I'm not downing church buildings. Don't get me wrong. Hear me, though. Man builds buildings, but God builds people. That's why Mordecai said to Esther, who knows whether or not you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. He spent 40 years in Moses' life on the backside of a desert to make him one day go into Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And he's building you and he's building me. And when we get to that moment that he's built us for, we're going to overcome. At least that's what he's building us for. So make no mistake, we are living in some times where the things that we go through, the outcomes that we allow tells us what God has been doing or whether or not we've allowed him to do things in our life that he wants to do. So he accuses Democrats of pandering to the Hispanic voting bloc, rails against traitors, and condemns race mixing and interracial unions. This is the man. This man, I think, I can't keep up with him all now. I think this one was 21 years old. Where do you get thoughts like that at 21 years old? You're talking about against interracial mixing? Lord, where my interracial couple over here? Right here. We love them. We love everything they do. And we've had multiple. Wait a second. God, here. Adam didn't look at Eve and say, no, Lord, she's not the right color. Adam didn't do that. Adam looked at Eve and said, whoa, man. And he said, yes, I got this. Oh, yeah, that's my rib I've been looking for. I've been missing you, girl. Where you been? And he married her and been with her. You know, it wasn't about color. And it says that he also said, yet another reason to send them back. Where did we hear that recently? Send them back. Now, I'm sorry, y'all, but it's too close. It's too close. It's too close. You can't do this. It's worth noting that Crucius, in his alleged manifesto, claims his views predate and are unrelated to Trump. In other words, he actually, in his manifesto, absolved Trump of any wrongdoing, which tells you that he was influenced by Trump, because you wouldn't have to absolve him if he didn't have some influence. Come on, you put two and two together. And so we need help. On July 23rd, FBI Director Chris Wray, testifying before a Senate Judiciary hearing, committee hearing, said, I will say that a majority of the domestic terrorism cases that we've investigated are motivated by some version of what you might call white supremacist violence, but it does include other things as well. And so Christopher Wray has been saying that of 100 recent arrests, it was white supremacist violence that's going on in this nation. The majority of mass shootings are done by white extremists in this nation. And yet we have a problem calling it out for what it is. And therefore, Paul says, we need to pray. We need to pray for those who are in authority. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having a problem staring you in the face, but you are so beholden to it that you can't see it for what it is. Therefore, you can't call it what it is. Barack Obama, and I'm not a champion of Barack Obama. Like I said, I'm not for or against him. Jesus is my Lord. He's my King. He's my President. So I don't lean towards the one or the other. You with Christ, I'm good. We're good. But they were on Barack Obama because he would never say Islamic terrorism. They kept saying, no, you need to call it Islamic terrorism. But as they said on television today, if three Islamists had done what these three white young men had done in the last 3 days in this nation, every Muslim in this nation would be locked up, deported, terror. They would have been gone out. But they're going to deal with that. They can deal with that. But what it is that part of it is too close to home. It's too close to home. But you got to call it what it is in order to deal with it. We have a commander-in-chief who does not see the threat of white supremacists, the threat white supremacy poses to our nation. And I don't care if it, listen, I've told my family for years, it's not that white people are wrong or that black, listen, it's if the tables were flipped, if the blacks were in majority and held all power, guess what you would have? Because it's not a function of color. It's a function of sin in the human heart. And if you give me power over all the people, I'm going to, as Sherry explained, what was the movie? Lord of the Rings. Sherry was explaining to me Lord of the Rings years ago. Too much power, that ring, you slip that ring on it, you become another, And so if the Hispanics were all in the majority and had power and control, guess what? Same thing. So it's not color. It's the sin. But we got to call it for what it is. And our president, I'm saying to you over and over and over again that words matter. Words matter. God created everything that we see, everything we're sustained by his words. And then he turned around and created us and gave us the ability. He created us in his image and gave us the ability to speak. And then we want to turn around and act like what we say carries no weight. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words. No. Words can tear you apart. Okay? And our poor president doesn't seem to understand that when you say send them back, that there are other people on a totally different extreme than you are. And when you say send them back, that pushes them over the edge. So that you cannot say whatever you want to say. But that's Christian, isn't it? That's Bible. Let your words be seasoned with salt. Ephesians 4 tells us. Let your words be seasoned with salt that they may minister the grace to the hearers. It talks about how we talk to one another. You can't just say any old thing you want to say. The world's finding this out, too. We live in a nation of free speech, First Amendment. You can say anything you want. But you know what you can't do? You know what's against the law? You can't go into a movie theater, a crowded movie theater, and holler fire. They've outlawed it. Why? Because people kill one another trying to get out of a fire when there's no fire. You can't do it. It's against the law. And so finally, the United States is coming down to where you can't just say any old thing that you want to. Well, that's Bible, church. That's Bible. Okay, so what are Christians to do? What are Christians to do? Given the climate that we're in, and listen, I'm saying this because where's the end of this? Do you know? Lord, no, I don't know. I don't know where it's going to end. I thought, you know, Friday was devastating enough. And then Saturday went over the edge. And then this morning, I'm sitting up here like, what? For real? 3 shootings in 2 days? 3 days? That's insane. But first of all, we need to forgive, and Christians ought to be good at this. And that I'm sorry, but when Donald Trump says, I've never found a reason to ask God to forgive me, I said, now, okay, anybody who believes that this man is a Christian, that's why I'm praying constantly for his salvation, salvation of his family. Because when you say, I have never found a reason to ask, the foundation of what it means to know Christ is to know forgiveness. Period. I mean, if you don't know anything else, say you speak in tongues. I don't even know what tongues is, but I know I'm forgiven of my sin. Listen, if you know anything, you must know that you're forgiven. You must have that to be a Christian. He says, well, I've never found a reason to ask him to forgive me. Hello. Come on. So we need to forgive, and then we need to pray. We need to pray. Now, you've heard of the world over these last few years. They say, I'm tired of your prayers, in particular with gun violence. They always say, we're tired of your prayers. We want some action. And you know what? They're right. They are right. Okay? Because you know what? You know what prayer is to us. Prayer is everything to us. But you know what it is to the world? It's just words. It's just words. And that's what it is to them. They don't believe in God. They don't know God. But to them, it's just words, which means we have to do something more, and rightfully so, because whenever God says pray, he doesn't just say pray. He doesn't just say pray and walk away. Okay, that's it. No. You got to follow it up with something. But first, 1 Timothy 2:1, therefore, I exhort first of all the supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving the thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Listen, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior? Us praying for those who are in authority. That's why I say, if we're not praying, church, let's pray. For the county supervisor and the board of supervisors here in Fairfax County, for Ralph Northam, the governor and the lieutenant governor, attorney general of the state of Virginia, in which we reside, and then for the larger United States of America, and I pray for the nations, because wherever man is found, sin is running rampant. We know this, right? So I ask Christians, do you want a quiet and peaceable life? Well, we need to pray for civil authorities. We need to be praying for them. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. God said, I'm listening. We have to be in prayer. That's not a rebuke. That's just an encouragement, an exhortation to go before God on our behalf and behalf of others. Then, after prayer, we need to speak up. I said we need to speak up. Let me ask. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. But I was recently talking to someone who told me that they called up in Chicago and got on somebody's case real hard. Didn't they, Carl? Yeah. I was talking to a brother who dealing with, it was gun violence, right? Yeah, it was gun violence. And my brother called up and got on their case, got in their face about the situation. And I thought, go ahead, my brother, go ahead. Because we need not only to pray, but we need to speak up. In other words, we need to let our voice be heard. Now, listen, it's not the easiest thing to do. Hello? It's going to cost you something. Like with that customer, she could have thrown me out of her house and said, well, you don't agree with me, get out. She could have. But she loves to clean carpets too much, you know? Psalm 81 and verse 10 says this, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. That's what God was saying to the children of Israel. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Amen? And so there are times that God gives you things to say. I'll share a recent thing that happened to me a few years ago. I've shared it before. But I was at a Kim Drive mini convention. I'm the only black in the room. There's like, I don't know, 50. Was it 50? I'm going to say 50, 60 guys and gals, whatever. We're in this room. And we're in Philadelphia. Now, I remind you that Philadelphia is 42% black, okay? People of color. And so we're in this room, and they're talking about van graphics. We're coming out with new van graphics, and it's required. Everyone has to replace their van graphics. And if you don't, you're going to get a fine and on and on and on. And okay, we're good. And so I looked at all the graphics, and I had already put new graphics on my trucks. But there was a problem, being that as big as ChemDry is, it's the largest carpet cleaning company in the world. In the world, not in the United States. Stanley Steamer, last I checked, had more market share, but ChemDry is the largest in the world. But at that time there were no graphics of people of color, no Hispanics, no blacks, no nothing. So I'm sitting in this room, and you know how the Holy Ghost is, right? The closest person to me in my entire life is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We talk constantly. Amen. While I'm talking to you, I'm talking to him. That's just the way it is. I'm always listening for his voice. So while we're in this thing, we're in this conference, and they're talking about these graphics, a thought crossed my mind. God, sometimes he comes to you in a question. He says, are you going to do it? And I knew exactly what he meant. He said, but no, if you're going to do it. He says, no, you're going to get it, right? And I said, yeah, Father, I feel it. I know it. He said, but are you going to do it? And I said, yeah, I'm going to do it. And so I put my hand up, and the guy from the front, he recognized me. He says, yeah, you got a question? I said, yeah, we are in the city of brotherly love. This population in this city is almost half black, and you don't have one graphic of a Hispanic, a brown person, a color person, nothing. You don't have anything. And when I said that, one little guy from the back who previously had said he was a Christian stood up and said, yeah, that's why we give you that big old black Sharpie so you can color in the graphics and color it in. And when he said that, everybody just roared. Everybody in the room, as best I could see, everybody in the room just started laughing. And I'm not going to lie to you. It hurt. And that's what the Father was saying, was, you know you're going to get it. But I knew that, and I counted the cost, and I said, yeah, but it's all right. It's all right. And so I went on ahead and said it, and I got it. But you know what happened? Here was the fruit of it. 2 years later. 2 years. Because some things you do, you're not going to get rewarded for right then. Hello? Hello? Some things you do, you're not going to. You have to have a vision. You have to be able to see far and off. That's when Jesus went to the cross. He was looking at you. He was looking at us 2,000 years later. He was looking at the fruit of what was going to happen with his life. And I'm telling you what, we do on a very minute scale what Christ accomplished, which was sacrificing his life. 2 years later. Now, all my vans already got new graphics. But someone else got to put a Hispanic person on their truck. Someone else got to put a black person on their truck. Why? Because you got to pay the price. You got to open up your mouth and let your voice be heard, right? So as was then, so in this situation. With what's going on in our country. Some of us, we need to call our representative or call our senator and kind of say, find out what the gun laws are here in Virginia and complain about it. Because something's got to happen. Listen, if we can't get the hearts out of the people, if we can't get the hate out of the people, out of the hearts of people, well, let's at least get lethal weapons out of the hands of the people. Come on. Because if they're not going to give up the hate, man, then we got to take your weapons away, because that's crazy. I mean, you know, you don't have to be born again to see that. That's stupid. Hello. Proverbs 31, the mother teaching her son, King Lemuel, says, open your mouth for the speechless and in the cause of all who are appointed to die. And in our case, we're not talking about, I'm glad that Christians are against abortion. Amen. I'm against abortion. I'm not for it. Clap, clap, clap. But at the same time, I'm not for people. You can't even go to Walmart and buy a little toy for your child for getting blown up. That's insane. Okay? That's wrong. And, it says, open your mouth for the speeches and the cause of all those who are appointed to die. And at this point, we all are, because who knows when the next one's and where it's going to happen. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the needy and the poor. As a Christian, Paul had no problem speaking out when he was mistreated as a Roman citizen. Do you remember the account? If you don't, let me refresh your memory. In Acts chapter 16 is known as the great earthquake when Paul and Silas were singing at night and God shook the prison doors open, right? But you don't hear a lot about what happened after. So let me read. It says, and when it was day, you know, Paul leads the Philippian jailer to Christ. They wash his back and everything, put him up, give him something to eat. And, had a great night, on and on and on. When it was day, Acts 16:35, the magistrates sent the officer saying, let those men go. So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. Now, we whipped you. We whipped you openly, and we whipped you good. But, you know, now go in peace. Everything's wonderful. But Paul said to them, hello. Now remember, you know, because people will take Romans 13, you know, submit yourself to the authorities because authorities don't bear the sword in vain, yada, yada, on and on. Yeah, we got that. We understand that. However, the authorities are not always squeaky clean. They are not always right. And in this case, they weren't, because the scripture says, but Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now do they just put us out secretly? No, indeed. They say, this is the Apostle Paul. He said, no, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. Paul said that. Why? Because he knew what his rights were. He knew what his rights were. Now, we standing here locking people up in cages. People, now I know they're immigrants, they're not citizens, but hello, y'all. People dying to picture the man. I'm saying these are people made in the image of God whom we purport to worship. But we treat people like the dogs, like the animals. And so you have to say to yourself at some point, my goodness, where is the line? Paul said, no, indeed, let them come out and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with Paul. They pleaded and brought them out and asked them, please depart from our city. And so when they went out of the prison and entered to the house. And so it was only at that point that Paul left willingly. But he said, no, you're not going to treat me that way. And listen, the thing, Paul wasn't citing scripture. He says, I'm a Roman citizen. He knew that he had citizenship and he knew what his rights were as a citizen. Okay. And so Paul stood up and he let his voice be heard, and we must do the same, right? So we call our representative, call our senator, and let our voice be heard. Third thing we need to do is to act. We need to act. And I just have a few scriptures I want to read to you in closing here. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, Paul says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. In other words, when someone does me evil, I am not to give it back to them. You say, well, I find that awfully hard. What did Christ do when he was reviled? He reviled not again, but as a sheep before her shears was dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And that Savior is living in you. Everything the scripture tells us to do, it tells us to do only through Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to do what it says do. It's altogether different than the Old Testament. They had the word on the outside coming and trying to conform them into its image. We have the word living on the inside of us. So that when we hear the command of God, the command of God, the word and the spirit agree, and we find ourselves able to do the commandments of God. For his commandments are not grievous, right? They're not burdensome. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, abstain from every form of evil. This is to the Christians now. This is to us. Mind you, the one other killing, I can't even remember, what was it, San Antonio? I can't remember where it was, but it was a pastor's son who was radicalized online and who went and murdered I don't know how many people. It was an Episcopal pastor's son who earlier this year murdered so many people in a mass shooting. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Romans 12, verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Christians need to hear this.
Yes, sir.
And you know, there are quote unquote Christians being radicalized online because they're reading material from people who got it through demonic possession. Which underscores why it's so important for us to be students of the Word of God. Have our head in the book. Amen? Because what Paul just said here, when he said, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, that is what's living on the inside of us. The very, not only that commandment, but the person who gave that commandment, the Holy Spirit, abhors evil and clings to what is good. So you have a helper. You have a comforter, a paracletos. You have one, a strengthener, who is living in us for us to accomplish all that God is commanding. Romans 12:17, repay no one evil for evil, but have regard for good things in the sight of all men. See, because it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us in that place. I can't come into your space on your job, in your marketplace, at your school. I can't come there. God's put you there. Okay? And that's where you're to let your light shine and let your voice be heard. Right? Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. With good. It's the word of God that will take hate out of the hearts of these people. Now we can and we should take their guns. Somebody said, but I have a gun, man. But you're right. Nobody wants your gun. I don't want your gun. I don't want anybody's gun. But the moment you think you're going to take a gun and blow somebody's brains out, then I want your gun, and I want to slap you upside your head too. Yeah. I want to minister some justice. Pow. I mean, that's insane. So we have to do something. We cannot sit around and do nothing. This cannot keep going on. So Jesus said in Matthew 4:34, as I close, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Are we doing that, church? Are we doing that? You say, well, I'm not being persecuted. Well, get on with living for Jesus, and you will. But I'm just saying, but we have to honor the word of God by keeping the word of God, right? Jesus said that we're to do this that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Amen? For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So we have Christ living on the inside of us through the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to love the way he said to love. Now, our job is simply to go out there and do it. Amen? Go out there and do it. And when we're responded to in hate, keep our voice down, speak the truth in love, and let our voice be heard. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we bless you today, and we thank you, O God, for divine truth. We thank you, O God, for the divine person of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, Lord, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Father, we pray, O God, that your desires would be accomplished in us. We pray, O God, that we would truly be the church, the light of the world, O God, the salt of the earth. Father, that we would walk in your ways and declare your goodness. Father, we pray, O God, for those who are in authority. Lord, from our mayors and chairmen, supervisors, council, men and women. Father, we pray, Lord, for our governor of this state. Lord, the legislature, the state Supreme Court. We pray for President Trump. his family. Lord, that they would be kept and delivered from all hurt, harm, and danger and assassination. Lord, that you would keep them and save them. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for your divine purpose and for your glory. Father, we pray for his cabinet and the administration. We pray for our congressmen and women, oh God, and we pray for our Supreme Court. Father, that your will would be done in those who are in authority, that we may live a godly and peaceable life, Lord, in all holiness and righteousness. Lord, we pray for them that you would give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Father, that they would be humble and be able to receive instruction, oh God, Lord, as it would come to them, Lord, concerning the remedies, oh God, that we need in this nation. Father, we ask this in all things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said amen. Amen and amen. God bless you.